Now, what a miracle
that took place.
A man who had been paralyzed for 38 years rose up, picked up his bed, and walked. Now, can you even imagine that? There was no gradually getting better. This was a miracle in the true sense of the word. He was made whole. What took place, humanly speaking, was impossible. Now, this man had been laying for 38 years. And he got up. There was no gradual process of getting better. He got up and walked. And you know, that's impossible. Even if the paralysis was healed, it would still take months for the muscles to recover to be able to support the body and walk. This was a miracle in the true sense of the word. Now, what took place gives us a beautiful picture of what happens when God saves a sinner. He's made whole. We just heard about that in that psalm we just sang, or just heard. He was made whole, made complete, made to where he's not lacking anything. I can't ever get enough of this verse of Scripture. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and you are, what's the next word? You believe that? You are complete. You don't lack a thing. You are completely whole. All that God requires, you possess. Because Christ was made what I am as my substitute. He was made sin on the cross. I'm made what He is. The very righteousness of God. Now, you want to talk about something hard to get hold of. Child of God, you are the righteousness of God in Him. Now, that would seem almost wicked and presumptuous to say something like that if the Bible didn't teach it. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now, that's how whole a believer is. Now, I think it's interesting that the Lord chose to perform this miracle on the Sabbath day. And actually, many of His miracles were performed on the Sabbath day, no doubt intentionally. Now, before we go on, what is the Sabbath day? Well, it's the fourth of the Ten Commandments. Turn over to Exodus chapter 20 for a moment, please. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 7. Or verse 8, excuse me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, Sabbath day is Saturday. It's not Sunday. It never was changed. It's Saturday. I've heard people talk about the Christian Sabbath. Where in the world are you going to get that in the Bible? Is there an example where they changed it from Saturday to Sunday? No, it's always been Saturday. 6 days, he says in verse 9, shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. You know, it's almost humorous to me how people are always wanting to post the Ten Commandments, and nobody ever says anything about this commandment. We have the Ten Commandments posted. Well, what about the Sabbath day? That's never an issue with anybody. They don't even think about it. Let me show you what happened to somebody that ignored the Sabbath. Turn to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers Numbers chapter 15. Verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in ward, in jail, because he was not declared what should be done unto him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Now we see here that breaking the Sabbath was a crime punishable by death. That's how great this sin was. Now that's serious. They stoned this man. Now, did you notice when we read Exodus chapter 20 how the Lord referred to the first Sabbath day when He's giving His commandment concerning the Sabbath? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 31. Last verse of Genesis chapter 1. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, completed. All creation was done, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Now you know as well as I do that the Lord wasn't tired. That's not why He rested. This rest was His response to a finished work. When He was finished with creation, He rested. There was nothing left for Him to do. Now what the Sabbath day does is teach us that we are not saved by working. We rest in His work. That's why this commandment of not working on the Sabbath day is given to us. It's not to just put a burden on us, boy, Sunday's a rotten day, you know, or Saturday's a rotten day. We can't do anything, we can't carry any burdens, we can't make. That's not what the Sabbath day is all about. The purpose of the Sabbath is to teach us that there are no works in being saved. We rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me make that good from the Scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Look in verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4. There remaineth therefore a rest, and if you have a margin, it'll say a Sabbath of rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that's entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. I love the way it says that. I mean, it's hard to rest, isn't it? It's hard to just do nothing. As a matter of fact, that's the hardest thing there is in the world to do absolutely nothing and to rest in what the Lord did. That's why I said let's labor to enter into that rest. Now, that's the purpose of the Sabbath. It's to teach us that salvation is not by working. And the Jews had no understanding of this. They've made a work of not working. They made the Sabbath just a terrible, burdensome time. They were so worried about working, and they didn't understand the meaning behind it. They had a completely wrong view. I was reading different things about the Jews' view of the Sabbath day, and I read where there was a rule, for instance, that if you had a handkerchief in your pocket, you needed to pin it to your clothes so it would become part of your clothes and you wouldn't be carrying it. That way, you wouldn't be carrying a burden on the Sabbath day. Now, can you imagine what a burden it would be to be trying to figure out whether or not you're carrying a burden all the time? That'd be so burdensome. Oh, what bondage there would be in that kind of thinking. Now back to our text in John chapter 5. Now, the Lord healed this man on the Sabbath day. Verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured. Now you think of what a miracle that took place. And what did they have to say? The Jews said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Now that's utterly amazing. I mean, what a mean spirit. What a totally warped view of what the Sabbath means in the first place. Here the Lord had miraculously healed this man. What a time of joy. This man was walking for the first time. He had been paralyzed for 38 years. What a wonderful, beautiful miracle. And all they have to say is, he's breaking the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to pick up your mat. These people were mean and hard-hearted, and quite often religious people are. Verse 11, he answered them, this fellow that was carrying his bed, and here's our rule of action, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. I love that answer, don't you? It's so simple. What are you doing carrying your bed on the Sabbath? Well, he that made me whole, he told me to do it. You reckon if the Lord tells you to do something, you're safe in obedience? You don't need to worry about breaking the law, do you? I mean, if he tells you to do it, that's your justification for doing it. Now, he that made him whole told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And that's actually a great principle taught to us. Here's why we preach what we preach. Here's why we do what we do. Here's why we believe what we believe. He said to in his word. And that's the only ground or justification we need. Now, verse 12. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Now, we're given another look at the mean-spirited nature of these religious people and their counterparts today. Now, when they ask him this question, what man is it that said to you, take up your bed and walk? Do you notice anything they don't mention? Now think about that. What did they not talk about? Now I see a glaring oversight in this passage of Scripture. They didn't say, what man is he that made you whole? And then told you to take up your bed and walk. They only had one thing on their mind. What man is it that said to you to take up your bed and walk? A glaring oversight is made. They tried to sidestep the real issue. Who made him whole? Who made him complete? Turn with me for a moment to Acts chapter 4. Something very similar happens here in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John healed the crippled man before the beautiful gate. We read beginning in verse 7, they've arrested Peter and John for doing this. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, Acts chapter 4, verse 7, and when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they asked him, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of Israel, you rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole? Now there's the issue. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Complete. Look back at Acts chapter 3, verse 16. This is right after he'd healed the man and they were so upset about it. And look what Peter says here in verse 16 of Acts chapter 3. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness. in the presence of you all. Now, here's the point. The name of Christ gives every believer perfect soundness. Now, you've got it right now. That God will give us grace to rejoice in this and revel in this and believe this and rest in this. Right now, in Christ Jesus, you already have perfect soundness. There's nothing to reach for. There's nothing to grasp for. You're perfect in Christ Jesus. And you know, this kind of preaching always angers religious people. Look over in John chapter 7. Look what they had to say about this very same event. John chapter 7, verse 23. Now the Lord is talking about this event. And remember, much of the conflict that goes on in the book of John is centered around what took place right here. The people got so upset that he'd done this on the Sabbath day. Look in verse 23. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. And they were circumcised on the Sabbath day, and there was no breaking of the Sabbath day. He says, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? And judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, beloved, if you were a believer, when he died, you were made every whit whole. And these people were not interested in how this man was made whole. They were interested in finding fault and being critics. And he said, you've broken the Sabbath day. Now, let's go back to John chapter 5. Verse 13. And they'd asked him, who made you whole? Or they didn't ask him that. They said, who told you to take up your bed and walk? That's all they were interested in. Verse 13. And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. The Lord had let this man immediately after healing him without even telling him who he was. Afterward, Jesus findeth him. Boy, that's a sweet thing to think about. You know the Lord found you. You didn't find him. He found you. Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now evidently some sin had brought this awful condition of paralysis on this man. And I have no doubt that the worst thing he's speaking of is hell. At any rate, he says, you're made whole, go and sin no more. Verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Now, I think this is interesting. Remember, they asked, tell me or tell us who it was that told you to get up and pick up your mat and walk. And when he finds out who it was, how does he answer him? He doesn't say it was Jesus who told me to rise up, take my bed and walk. He tells them it was Jesus who made me whole. Now there's the confession of every true believer. If you're a believer, this is your story. This is your testimony. This is your history. You really believe this. This is what you've got to say. It was Jesus who made me whole. It was Jesus who made me whole. He made me whole. I didn't make myself whole. I didn't give him the okay to do it. You know, it wasn't like, you know, he offered it to me. It was up to me to accept it or reject it. Nothing like that. He made me whole. This is the same way when he made the world. He created something from nothing. He made me whole. He gets all the glory because he did it all. So all the glory goes to him. It was Jesus who made me whole. This is a creative act of the Lord. He made me to be what I was not. I'm made to be whole and complete. And that's why I rest. Right now, beloved, I am resting in Jesus Christ the Lord.
and there's not a thing for me to do. I am whole. I am complete. I don't need anything else. And I am resting in Him. There's not one thing for me to do. I love that. I love to rest. Just simply resting in Him. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to get stressed about. I am whole. I am complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who made me whole. It was not a cooperative effort between the two of us. He did it. And this is how whole, this is how complete I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've already alluded to this. How whole, now what made him whole? How whole? Think about what I'm asking you right now. How whole? How complete is the righteousness of God? Are there any holes in His righteousness? Is there anything that you lack? If you have, you see, a believer is made. This is what I just read that scripture. Let me quote another few scriptures to you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Romans 3, 19, 20, 21. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law, without my personal obedience to the law in my flesh. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." This is what the Old Testament scriptures have always taught. Isaiah 54:17 says, "Their righteousness is of me." That's the way it's always been. "Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ." Now how whole, how complete is the righteousness of God? And I was just sitting here before this message trying to get a hold of this, I can't comprehend it all. But I really believe this. My righteousness is not based upon the righteousness of God. My righteousness is the righteousness of God. And I have such peace. You're not going to find any holes there. You're not going to find any lack there. You're not going to find anything you can find fault with there. I am. Every believer is. This is how whole. This is how complete every believer is. Every believer is the very righteousness of God in Him. Now, any other righteousness, there's plenty of holes in it. You reckon your personal righteousness, you can find some holes in it? Oh, there's only one whole righteousness. It's the only righteousness there is. You know, the only righteousness there is God's righteousness. When we talk about human righteousness, it's actually an oxymoron, isn't it? Because our righteousness, the Scripture says, is a filthy rag. Human righteousness, really, there ain't no such thing, is there? Not really. There's only one righteousness. And that's the very righteousness of God that every believer is justified by. And this is why I can have such confidence. "Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved from these I am, from sin's tremendous curse and shame. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness my beauties are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head." Now that's our confidence. The very righteousness of God. Now here's our confession. Here's our personal testimony. It was Jesus who made me whole. Is that your testimony? I tell you what, it's mine. I believe this. Boy, I just rejoice in believing this. Jesus made me whole. I don't need anything else. I'm perfectly complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Made the very righteousness of God. This is our confidence. And we are revolted by and offended by anything other than this. It was Jesus who made us whole, Him alone. Now, verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. And they sought to slay Him. I mean, they wanted to put Him to death because He had done these things on the Sabbath day. Why were they so upset by this that they actually wanted to kill the Lord? I mean, what was their motive for being so angry? I mean, this is some kind of miracle that took place. And this is remarkable wickedness that they would be so upset that they want to put Him to death over this issue. Why were they so upset? It's because they didn't have any understanding of somebody being made whole. They didn't rejoice in it. They thought it was up to them to keep this Sabbath to be saved. And if this fellow, in their idea, breaks the Sabbath, that's taken away their hope, because that's what they're hoping in, something they did. They just despised what they considered Sabbath breaking. Now remember what the Lord said about this. Was this Sabbath breaking when this fellow rose up, took his bed and walked? No, it wasn't Sabbath breaking. The Lord said, judge not according to the appearance. He's carrying his mat. Must be Sabbath breaking. The Lord said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, I love what the Lord says. They're so upset about this fellow. He picked up his bed. You know what that means? He was working on the Sabbath day. He was working on the Sabbath day. Something's wrong with this. This man couldn't be of God, or He wouldn't be telling him to work on the Sabbath day. And look what the Lord says to him. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father, what? Worketh. Hitherto. My Father's doing this work here on the Sabbath day. I know He's saying this just to irritate Him, but to teach us something too. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. The Father was doing this. This is a Sabbath work, isn't it? A Sabbath work. I am saved by works. The works of the Father, the works of the Son, and the works of the Holy Spirit. I'm saved by their work. And I'm not going to do anything to put my filthy hand upon what they did. This is the work of God. That you believe on Him whom He has sent. You want something to do? I've just given you something. This is the work of God. That you believe on Him whom He has sent. Rest in His work. May God give us grace to do that. Let's pray together.